We've been working through the book of Hebrews. That's in the New Testament toward the end. And we're in chapter 4 this morning. If you want to repeat or want to catch up on that, you can find the audio version of the sermons on our website. And by the way, on the cool thing about those audio sermons on the website is you can control the speed of playback. You can speed it up and it doesn't take as long. Kind of move Mark in, you know, into a faster voice. And it, that's how I listen to it, in 1.5 speed. But you could also find it on YouTube on the Laud Baptist channel. It's going out live right now, and then it's stored on there, so you can find those if you'd like. But we're in Hebrews chapter 4 this morning. The chapter 3 talks about the rebellious generation of Israel who did not enter God's rest because of their disobedience. You remember that generation of people after the Exodus from Egypt, and they were wandering out there in the wilderness. They failed to obey God, and God said, okay, you're going to keep wandering until this whole generation dies off. That's what he was talking about, that generation. They wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years and died there. It is a historical set of events. And it is also a spiritual picture of people of all time. Most people, it seems, choose not to go God's way. They choose to rebel against God, and so they wander through life and die. Now, they may do some good things. May do some really good things. They may be good people, but they die outside the kingdom of God and forever remain outside his rest, outside his kingdom. And chapter 4 just picks up on that theme, or carries that theme on. It's not a new theme here. It just continues with our need to trust God and to obey God and to enjoy his provision for life. And then toward the end of chapter 4, it leads us into one of the bigger themes of Hebrews, that Jesus is the great high priest. But we're not going to go into that today. Tim's going to preach that next week. Today I want to emphasize 3 points. Good old-fashioned, just 3-point sermon without a poem. Only the old people got that. Okay. So I want to emphasize 3 points today. God still offers his rest. He still offers salvation. And he invites us to lay down our struggles and take up his life. And thirdly, his word brings us to him. It brings us to that process. Now, I'm going to sort of speed through that first point, I hope, because we pretty much covered it last week. But the first point is, God's rest is still on offer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Let me just pause right there. You get a glimpse right there of his passion for his audience. Here's a man writing a letter to some friends, and he says, I don't want you to be left out. That's good. Verse 2, for we also have the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God said, so I declared on my oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And we'll pause there. The middle part of that is hard to follow. Or it is for me. I hope you're better at it than me on that. But I want to point out that verse 1 and verse 9, the first and the last verses we just read, basically have the same truth. The promise of entering God's rest still stands. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The good news is still being proclaimed. God's story is still being told. Truth is heard. It's read. It's studied. It's memorized. It's meditated. Salvation from the bondage of sin is still available. Rest from the wilderness is still on offer. God is calling us to Himself. And so He says to His friends, "So be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it." Do not neglect the good news. How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? Verses 6 and 7 tell us there is still time, as long as it is still today. The doors are not closed. God is still in the salvation business. He's still inviting people. He wants people to be resting in His peace now and for eternity. God's work with Israel did not stop when they entered the promised land. He kept on working with them and through them. His work for Israel did not stop, and His work today does not stop. He continues. He continues faithfully calling people to Himself. And so, give up your struggling and go with Him. Look at verses 10 and 11. "For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from His. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." That disobedient generation. Don't follow their example. Let me ask you, do you need relief from struggling? Does it seem like you're really, really busy and yet you're not sure if you've accomplished anything except frustration? Are you carrying burdens that are too heavy to carry alone? Do you feel like your life is going nowhere? You're just wandering around in the wilderness? Are you chronically tired from carrying all this load? Now, that may be a physical malfunction, but it very well may be a spiritual malfunction. He says, anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their labor, their works, their struggles. Does that mean that the Christian life is easy and all your problems are gone? Of course it doesn't. You know that. This life still has struggles. And we still need to work. God wants us to lay down from our work and be lazy. That's not at all what it means. In fact, God values work. He worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh. He values work. He never intended it for us to be lazy and not work. That's not what this says. But God values the right kind of work for the right reasons and the right methods. And it seems to me that we Americans make ourselves sick. I mean, we we literally have more than most of the world, and we have every opportunity, and yet we're the sickest people on the planet. We're making some people rich with our illness. Our work should not be making us sick. Now we might be at the wrong job doing the wrong things, and you know how frustrating that is. You know that when you're not equipped to do the job that you're trying to do. It's hard. And there may need to be some change. Sometimes we're at the right job. And we're trying to do the right things, but we're trying to do it all in our own strength, and we never ask God, well, what do you want me to do here? How do you want me to go about this? Lord, can you help me? Can you give me wisdom in these things? We just try to do it in our own strength because we're Western and that's the way you do it, you know? And then there's a third thing that goes on. Sometimes we just get into patterns of sin. I mean, we're just plain sinful. Even Christians, you know that. Even people who are in church sometimes just get into patterns of sin that make us sick, spiritually, emotionally, and physically sick. Have you been to any of those places? I won't ask for a show of hands this morning. I will tell you, I remember a period of time when I was a deacon here in this church, a student at seminary, successful in my career, and sick at heart. Drugged down by a pattern of sin and a hard heart. Even as we were working in a mission and living across the globe, there was a short period of time that my soul got so out of shape, I literally thought I was going crazy. I thought I was losing it. And bless the Lord, He put me in touch with some good folks just to get a new start. He revived my spirit. Sometimes we just get in a bad place for various reasons, and we need rest. Do you need rest? There's an invitation here. People who profess faith in Christ, may be active in church, still have the potential to be struggling with all kinds of things that make us sick. Do you need rest? And then there are people who just completely ignore God. They completely ignore God's messages, His ways, and they're sick at heart even if they don't know it. They're wandering in the wilderness, whether they realize it or not, because they're living outside, completely outside of their created purpose. And they're not headed for the promised land. And they're not entering the promised land. They're not entering God's rest until they yield to Him. And I think what's best about all of that is what Jesus Himself said. It's recorded in Matthew 11. I preached on it not very long ago. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, He said, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." He said, "I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I got that out of order, but that's what He said. "Come to Me," Jesus said, "and I will give you rest." Now, I said in that sermon, and I'll just remind you that a yoke is a harness for work, but it should be designed to make the work easier, to make us more productive but less stressed. And when we're yoked with Jesus and we're going His way, He bears the heavier burden. He makes our burden light. do not hear me say there will be no more problems. Once you come to Jesus, everything's rosy, no more troubles. Do not hear me say that. But do hear me say that when we're going God's way and His Spirit indwells us, we work with heavenly purpose and heavenly power. We are afforded joy even in the midst of trouble when we know God's presence. This writer said, make sure you do not go the way of the wilderness rebellion. Make sure you're learning to trust God. You're learning to obey God and enjoying His peace. Make sure that you're on the path to eternal salvation. Make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following the example of the disobedient. And the last two verses we'll examine this morning, verses 12 and 13, I think are the how-to part of this. It gives us the information and the tools we need to enter God's rest now and eternally. It is God's Word. Verse 12, for the Word of God is alive and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him whom we must give account. In order to find the rest we need to be on the right path. And we need to have the right destination. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light on my path. Isn't that good? God's word lights up the way we need to go. Earlier in that psalm, verses 9 through 11, the writer said, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. We know God. In our generation, we know God by hearing and reading His Word, learning who He is. When His Spirit opens our minds to the meaning of His words, we are confronted with the truth. And that truth convinces us that we are sinful and we need help. His Word draws us to God and tells us about who He is. His Word teaches us how to be and how to live. It leads us to salvation. It leads us to rich life and joy. It leads us to rest and peace. Scripture, God's Word, is breathed full of life by God. It's living and active. Now that doesn't mean the meaning changes. It's dynamic in that it's always at work, but the meaning of God's Word doesn't change. You need to get a firm grip on that, because people are today are trying, or really for a long time, have been trying to interpret it however they wanted for the moment, you see. The meaning of God's Word doesn't change. But it is dynamic in that it's always at work. It does not leave us void. It's not just an ancient document of dead words. God still speaks through His Word. And Jesus came to complete that Word, to make it full, and to show us what it all means. And God's Spirit comes, and He takes up the Word of God, and it's like tools in the hands of a craftsman when the Spirit is at work, reshaping, honing, polishing, recreating to be who we need to be. A lot of you have memorized 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We need God's word. It has the power. God's word has the power to cut through all the outer layers, all the things that we put on to hide our faults. He said it's sharper than any double-edged sword. Penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Nothing can stop the penetration of God's word when His Spirit is at work. It penetrates to the deepest places. It brings light to the darkness which is seeking to destroy us. A double-edged sword. That's not really part of our normal attire or vernacular. But look at that. That's what he was talking about. That's a replica of a Roman sword that would have been in use in their day. And this one is not sharpened for battle, but the Roman soldiers would have been. And you can imagine in the hand of a skillful swordsman that this would penetrate to the bone and marrow and cut right through you. And he says God's word is the sword of the Spirit. It reaches to the deepest points. It divides the parts that need to be divided. It cuts away all the stuff. And as I thought about that, I wondered if the guy who wrote Hebrews, if he was writing today, instead of talking about a Roman sword, he would say, it's like that probe that the surgeon and the robot uses to reach from your leg up into your heart into the tiniest place and get to the spot that you need fixed to make you well again. I don't know if he'd have written it that way. The sword's still quite a lot of fun. The point is, God's word penetrates to where it needs to be. Now, that may sound uncomfortable. Maybe you don't want that. Maybe you don't want the truth to penetrate down into your core because it will cause you to change. And you know that. Maybe you're comfortable in the wilderness because it feels like home. Bound for nowhere but comfortable. Maybe you think having a hard heart is safer. I've had those thoughts before. There were times when I thought it was just easier to have a hard heart. Just, you know, shield yourself from all the hurting people around you and from any need to change. In fact, there's that thought of if I am stubborn enough, everybody else can go their own way and leave me alone. Or maybe the thought is like this. You all just need to get in line and follow me. Do it my way. Right? You ever have that thought? All these people just need to learn how to do things my way. I've had those thoughts. I also discovered that having a hard heart shielded me from God's blessing. See, when we're not allowing God to work in us, we're not in the place where He can bless us like He wants to. If we will not walk on His path without His guidance, then we're not able to receive His blessing. Do you need rest? God's word does judge our thoughts and our attitudes. So get ready. If you get into God's word, it will work on you. It will likely require change. And honestly, that's why some of you are hot and cold and hot and cold. Because you hear something you really like, it fires you up. It may be a song, it may be a scripture, a sermon, or a bumper sticker. And you get fired up. Well, we don't do bumper stickers. A post on Insta something. And it gets you fired up. And God's word begins to reveal a need for change. And then you just say, oh, that was cool. And you back up instead of committing to that change, and you turn cold until the next nice, warm, fuzzy thing comes along and you start to get excited again and then back up because we really don't want to change and go His way sometimes. So just get in. Get in. Let God's Word fill you and inspire you. He says here that you cannot hide from God. God knows your hard heart. He knows your sin. His Word cuts away all the rubbish that you think is hiding you. His Spirit uses His Word like the sword to cut away all those things. God's Word is the sword of truth. And He says everything and every person is laid bare before God. You're not hiding. You may be running, but you're not hiding. So give it up. Just give yourself up to the Lord who created you. And remember what Jesus said. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you need rest? I hope that you're seeing a progression here in chapters 3 and 4. We know that God works through His Word. And when we yield to that, we begin to trust who God is. And as we begin to trust Him, we obey Him. We start going His way. And the more we know Him, the more faith we have. Faith leads to obedience. True faith always leads to obedience. The letter from James tells us that faith without the fruit of obedience is dead faith. When we trust God, we will obey Him. And obedience leads us into God's rest. We give up on our own struggles, we take up His yoke, and we find rest. Do you need rest? Do you need peace? Know that this is a progressive work. It's not automatic. Just when you get saved, everything's done. That's not how it works. That's where we get started. Receiving salvation of Christ puts us in the right position to learn from Him and to grow and to persevere. But this progression needs to keep going. And it's not linear. It's not like, okay, I got that step done and then I need to get step two done. It's more cyclical. It's more organic. It's hard to chart sometimes. The more we learn about God, the more we trust Him. The more we trust Him, the more we obey. And then the more we learn, and then our faith deepens, and we learn to walk in faith, and we learn to abide in the words of Christ, and we even learn to love each other. Now that's miraculous. A bunch of people really loving each other. And we learn to bear fruit. Fruit of the Spirit, to become more like Christ. Someone has called that process discipleship. Learning to be lifelong followers of Jesus. Do you need rest? Do you need to lay down a heavy load, a hard heart at the foot of Jesus? Do you need to get rid of a sin pattern and be free to follow God wholeheartedly? Do you just need to be faithful to what you know God has called you to do? Quit running. There's over 200 people here this morning, I reckon. So there's 200 or so different needs. The music team's going to come. We're going to sing Just As I Am. Song written a long time ago, just to remind us that God accepts us however we are. He won't leave us that way. He'll make us into what we need to be if we let Him. If we can help you with anything, prayer, counsel, if we can help you meet Jesus for the first time and become loyal to Him, let us help you. You stand, and as we sing today, let God do what He needs to do.